Yeah, there's not a lot of bragging going on this morning.
The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
Do you hear something? I hear something. So, I thought I heard Brady Reader preaching. So, I hope that's not my stuff. Anyway, I've got iPads and phones and stuff, and I did remember turning everything off. One of the Christmas gifts that I got this year from a buddy of mine was a journal, and it was kind of dad's journal. There is something going off. You got it? There we go. All right, we're listening to Brady preach online while I'm preaching here. So one of the Christmas presents I got this year was a journal, and it was a fountain pen. Those of you guys that kind of know me, I'm a fountain pen guy, and so one of the guys on my team got me this. But the journal he got me was kind of a dad's journal. It was an opportunity for you to take your life and just ask you kind of questions about how, you know, where'd you grow up? Did you ever get in a fight? You know, favorite foods and just all these kind of things from your past, and just take kind of a month at a time and just work through these questions and write out these answers. And then at the end, you kind of have a history that you can kind of leave with your kids. Well, I know how my year goes. And so when I got it, I just started digging into it. And instead of doing it, you know, like throughout this whole year, I'm up to I think April. So I've got April completed. But it got me reflecting, and it got me thinking about memories that I hadn't thought about in a long time. It asked me questions that just kind of jogged my brain, jogged my memory, and began to get me to just look back at my past and what were those moments. And then I shared some of those stories, and some of them I hadn't, you know, some I hadn't even thought about in a long, long time. And then Carrie's fiance, JT, was home this weekend, and yesterday Carrie took her sisters to a musical down in St. Louis. And so JT and I, we went along for the ride, and we hung out at B-Dubs and watched some really bad football. I guess it depends on your perspective. But we got to talk a lot, and I got to, again, share and to kind of reflect back, because he was asking me, who are the men that have influenced you throughout your life? Who are the people that have really shaped who you are? And so it was an opportunity for me to kind of recount and retell him and also re-remember and think through some of those things. And so I share that story with you just to remind us that today's kind of our annual message, where we kind of think back on 2018 and we look forward to 2019. And so I just want you just to take a second and just kind of reflect on your own 2018. And ask yourself this one question. What was one or two memorable days in 2018 for you that were just really good days? What were some of those days for you? Just think about that for just a second. For me, it was when I found out that my daughter was going to get married. And the day that JT came over to ask me permission to talk to Carrie. I said, bring your work clothes. We're gonna put a fence in, okay? So, because I knew what he was going to do, so I was going to get some work out of him while he came, you know? Or the actual proposal day, you know, we drove down to Land Between the Lakes and we watched him propose to Carrie. Or the time that we spent, Candy and I spent a couple weeks overseas, and just, it wasn't a day, it was a couple of weeks, but just celebrating our 30th anniversary and just having that good season. Or there are those little moments of, you know, getting to just show up and watch Maddie run or take Haley off to college. We had several things. Haley and I went on a mission trip this summer to Italy. So 2018, as I begin to look back on it, man, we did a lot. There were a lot of things going on. What about for you, what were some of those memorable days, though, that may have been really hard? Those days where you, man, if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have made it through that day. You know, as I think about, for me, you know, getting news that a fellow pastor had committed suicide. Even though I wasn't super close to him, it was a really hard day, because it was like, wow, You know, this was a guy that had faithfully served and labored year after year, day after day. But he found himself in such a place of despair that he felt like the only out he had was to take his own life. That was a really hard day for me to hear that kind of a message, or to find out a good friend who's about my age had just suddenly lost his job. Really kind of felt like no rhyme or reason. That was a really hard day, and I was like, man, if it can happen to him, that can happen to me. And how much am I putting my worth in my own productivity? And how much worth am I putting in the value of the paycheck that I get, rather than leaning into Jesus and living by faith, you know? Or the day that, you know, my community group leader, Connor, and his wife, Jen, found out, you know, she was dealing with a really serious illness, dealing with cancer. And that was a really hard day for us. You know, a young couple just in the beginning of season of life and starting families and same age as our girls, you know. Those are some really hard days. But again, those are the kind of days that pressed us into Jesus. And as I reflect back on 2018, both those good and those bad days reminded me of one clear thing, and this is the thing that I want you to catch as we get ready to jump into the text today, is that on your best day and on your worst day, your standing before the Father is the same if you are one of his children. As one of his kids, your very best day, I mean, you hit all the, you dotted all your I's, you crossed all your T's, you evangelized that day, you were in the Word. I mean, the day was just like, quote, a perfect day. The Father's love for you was no more great, was not any greater than the day that you just totally jacked everything up. And you blew up at your kids. You flipped somebody off because they cut you off. Whatever. I mean, just imagine your worst day. You're standing before the Father. His love for you is no less. Because again, the reminder for us as we jump into this text today, the reminder for us is that it's not about us, it's about him and what he's done. As we celebrated communion this morning as a band, just remembering that. Now the flip side, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father, then you need to feel the weight of the fact that there's a distance between you and him, that you are outside of the family of God, that God's full wrath is weighing heavy on you. And there will come a day when there will be eternal separation. And so, again, the message is the same for you. There's nothing you can do. You can't do enough. You can't be religious enough. You can't come to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough to earn, hear that word very clearly, to earn God's favor. It comes through being drawn to him, your heart being awakened to him, you accepting him, coming into his kingdom. So just hang on to that. Rest in that today. Be impacted by that today as you think about this message from 1 Thessalonians 4 as we reflect on 2018 and look forward to 2019. And the simple message that I want us to think about today is, how do we live a life that is holy and pleasing to God? So if you're taking notes today, and I hope you will, because I'm going to give you some questions to ask yourself, because you're going to have some stuff to take away and think about as you roll into 2019. How do we live a life that's holy and pleasing to God? When you look at the Thessalonian church that this letter is written to, this book that we're in today, 1 Thessalonians, it's a letter that Paul wrote. Paul was a missionary, and Paul visited this church and helped get this church started. And then after he helped get it started, he would send people to check in on this church and see how they were doing from time to time. And on one of the check-ins, one of his young disciples, Timothy, had come back to him and said, hey, the church at Thessalonica, they're doing pretty good. They're hanging in there, but they've got some things they're dealing with. And so as they had that dialogue, which we don't have a record of, but we know that there was that dialogue because Paul then sends back this letter that we're going to look at today and addresses some of the key issues that they're wrestling with. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so for us, for them, this would have just been all one big letter, okay? Chapters 1 to 4, just one big letter, no break, no little verses. Those were put in a lot later just for our own personal reference so we would know how to kind of navigate through the letter. But starting in verse 4, I want you to see a couple of, or starting in chapter 4, verse 1, I want you to see a couple of things when we talk about this whole idea of walking and living a life that's pleasing to God. Listen to verses 1 and 2 again. It says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God just as you were doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to key in on a couple of things there in those first couple of verses. It says in verse 1, just as you receive from us. So Paul had given them some instructions early on. But he also commends them, for he says, from us, how do you ought to walk and to please God? Just as you are doing. So there are some good things happening with the Thessalonians. They're getting some stuff done. They're walking faithfully in with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another passage, if you want to look this up later, if you go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, when Paul talks about walking in a manner, walking in just as you were doing, just as you were doing, that you may do so more and more, for we know that the instructions we gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he talks about this whole idea of walking in a manner worthy, he is actually talking about specific behaviors. He's talking about bearing fruit. Think about the parable of the sower. There's a story that Jesus tells where he talks about planting seed on certain kinds of soil. And in some soil, the seed that he plants, the soil is so hard, it doesn't take any root at all. In some soil, the seed that's planted, it's choked out by the worries and the anxieties of life. And then some seed that's planted is planted in this soil that reproduces 100-fold. And so the thing that I want to draw us back to today is, how have you trusted in 2018? When you look back at your 2018, could Paul say to you the same thing that he said to the Thessalonians, where he says, just as you receive from us? Because if you've been a part of this church this past year, you've heard a lot of really good teaching. You've been in community groups that have studied the word faithfully. Hopefully you've had personal time with the Lord and you've spent time in this book and you know what you need to do to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God. The question is, were you faithful to do that this year? Just kind of reflect on that for a second. And again, I want to remind you that this is not a try harder message, do better message, okay? Because at the end of the day, we're talking about faithfulness that leads to obedience. The overflow of your walk with Jesus is that obedience. So could Paul say to you, that little phrase there, just as you're doing, that you do so more and more. See, he wasn't having to hammer on them just yet. He was actually giving them some encouragement right there and reminding them, just keep doing what you've been doing and do it more and more. Just continue to be faithful. So my question to you this morning, as you reflect on 2018, would that be a message that Paul could have shared with you? Man, yeah, that thing right there, the way you've been engaging God's word, the way you've been being faithful to the word, the way you've been living that word out, just keep doing that. Just keep going more and more. Because again, if you look in verse 2, there's a key word that he shares with them in verse 2. For he says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." When he uses that word instruction, that's like the Greek word for that word right there is like a military command. These are not optional things. These are not things you just do when you feel like it. These are not things you just do when it's convenient. But these are commands to be lived out and obeyed. So Paul's reminding them that, hey, these were the things that we gave you, that we commanded you to do, and you did. So again, for a lot of us, it's easy. I know it is for me sometimes. In fact, Todd mentioned this during the confession time. We'll look at the word and we'll go, does it really say that? Father, do you really mean that? Is that really what I'm supposed to do? But Paul's reminding us right here that, no, that the instructions are clear. There's a lot of clarity in the Word of God. The question is, are you being obedient to the things that you know that you need to be obedient to? And the reminder for us in the midst of all that is, in the midst of that, the more and more you do that, the bigger and bigger you should recognize your need for Jesus in your life. The cross should be getting bigger. Because we're going to have a tendency to kind of go one of two ways with this when you hear these kinds of messages, when you hear this whole idea, when you begin to reflect and you begin to think forward. For some of you, you're going to really get into legalism mode. Well, Charles is really just saying, just try harder. You know, I need to do more and more. I'm not doing enough. And so you're going to turn the screws down on yourself, and you're just going to knuckle down, and you're just going to try to grind harder. And that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Paul's talking about. For some of us, and I tend to fall in this camp, it's going to be like, man, there's just no way. So whatever, you know, it's good enough. In fact, we kind of laughed yesterday. One of the things in watching football, AT&T's got this new commercial where it talks about it's just okay, you know. The guy's getting ready to have surgery, and the nurse walks in and says, hey, you got Dr. So-and-so. The guy's like, is he good? And she's like, yeah, he's okay. And the doc walks in, and he goes, the guy's like, so you're doing my surgery? He goes, yeah, I'm okay. I'm on my way to getting recertified. It's not official yet, but it's okay. So some of us will deal with our sin that way. Yeah, it's okay. You know, wasn't that big a deal. Wasn't that bad. So we'll tend to kind of fall one of those places where we'll either be really legalistic about this, or we'll be just kind of give ourselves kind of free rein and license and just say, it's okay. But both of those places are not where we need to be. The place where we need to be is recognize, as Paul challenges us and begins to look at how do we live a life that's holy and pleasing to God, that we cling harder to the cross, that we make Jesus bigger, that we recognize more and more and more. The more that we study God's word, the more that we understand what's needed from us, the more we recognize we never have an opportunity to live that kind of perfect, holy life on our own, independent of Him. So really what we're talking about today, this whole idea of living a holy and pleasing life, this idea of following the instructions of God, this idea of being commended by Paul to do more and more, it's the idea of clinging more and more to the cross. I mean, just wrapping your arms, your whole body around that thing with a death grip and just saying, Jesus, without you today, I cannot accomplish anything that you've called me to do. It's just impossible. I need you. I need much of you. I need all of you. And then out of the overflow of that relationship, you walk faithfully to the things that you know you need to be obedient to. And when you mess it up, you confess and repent, and you just come right back to the cross. You never say, I got this. That just doesn't need to be a part of your vocabulary. So Paul moves them into then some practical instructions about one specific area. Now, to get into this area, there's kind of a turning verse here in verse 3. If you look at verse 3 real quick, it says this: for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's a real key phrase right there. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, is this the whole full will, full countenance of God, everything. And no, that's not what Paul's talking about here. But Paul is talking about, as it's referencing to our walk with him, God's will for us is our sanctification. Now, that's a really big fancy word. And that really big fancy word just simply means God is going to do whatever God needs to do to make us look more like him. So as you think back on 2018, God was very intentional and very purposeful in allowing us to do the things we did, bring in the experiences that happened to us to shape us and mold us into his likeness each and every day. And sometimes those things were really awful things. Sometimes those things were really hard things. Sometimes those things were really joyous and good things. But at the end of the day, it's about our sanctification. That's what God is chasing after with us. It's a lifelong journey of him actually shaping us to look more and more like him each and every day. And our part of that goes back to what I said earlier. It's clinging to the cross. So Paul jumps into the text and he uses a very specific topic. He could have chosen anything, but for his purposes, for this letter to the Thessalonians, he chose the issue of sexual immorality. If you look on down at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, he's taking on an issue that would seem like, and this just seems like a no-brainer kind of an issue. If you're a believer, you shouldn't be involved in these kind of behaviors. But even with the Thessalonians doing well and him challenging them to do more and more in their faithfulness, they were getting sucked into some behaviors and some activities that weren't reflective of what someone who is a follower of Jesus should be. Some of that was probably the newness of their faith. They were a young church. Some of it was the culture that they lived in. They were in a very sexually driven, hyper-sexual oriented culture in Thessalonica, in that region. And so the idea of living an immoral life, it was really easy for them to get sucked into that. So he takes just a few minutes. It's not much of the letter, right? But it's enough to help kind of reset them and redirect them. One of the things I failed to mention early on, part of the reason that I think they're wrestling with this and struggling with some of this is that they were hit with some unexpected things. One of the big issues of the whole letter in Thessalonica is death. And what's going to happen when people die, and how is Jesus coming back? What's all this talk? So that's a real big theme in the book of Thessalonians. But I think it also gets them sidetracked and gets them sucked into some behaviors that aren't honoring and don't lead to holy living. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because we could pick any kind of behavior and any kind of topic. But I think the key for us to see in this text is that Paul is challenging them to take this sin seriously. Look with me in verses 4 and 5. It says, actually backing up to verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, as he told you beforehand, and as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you." I think here's the deal for us to be aware of and to think about. There's obviously on the specific topic of sexual immorality, there's obviously a standard for believers. Sex inside of marriage between a heterosexual couple. That's the standard. It's very clearly laid out in Scripture. But the thing I want you to see and understand and feel the weight of is that we need to take sin seriously. That we need to understand, and Paul brings this out in the text. It's not only us that's affected, but there's other people around us that are affected. I mean, go back and look in verse 6 there. He says again that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. So obviously in the Thessalonican church, there was an issue where people were involved in sexual immorality, but they also were taking advantage of each other and leading each other into sin in this particular way. So for you, as you think about your own life, as you reflect on 2018, as you look forward to 2019, what would that part of, if Paul was addressing a letter to you, what would be the issue? What would be the sin that you may have gotten sucked into, or you may be sucked into right now, that you're just not confessing and laying at the foot of the cross? And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about like a daily rhythm and routine of confession and repentance. All right, because each and every day we live our lives having to daily confess and repent. I'm talking about, is there an area of your life where you've dug your heels in and you're just not willing to address it? You're just being unrepentant. You're just willing to say, I'm not letting go of this. I'm hanging on to this. Because the consequence of that kind of behavior, the consequence of not willing to lay that at the foot of the cross, ask for forgiveness, live in a way that honors the Father, is very clear. Look back at the text. God says this, Paul says this to them about God. Verse 6, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. See, there's going to come a moment of discipline. There's going to come a time of discipline if you're not being repentant. Paul's warning them, don't take sin lightly. Take it seriously. Because you may not be found out right in this moment, but you're going to get found out. God will have his day of judgment with you. There will be consequences. Now, how does that jive with what I said earlier about there's nothing you can do to be loved less by the Father? Okay, well, you're making the assumption that love doesn't discipline. Okay? If you're living in a way that is not pleasing to the Father, because he does love you, he is going to discipline you. He is going to avenge his holiness. Because he's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a loving God. What doesn't happen when you're living in that way is that you're not out of the kingdom. You're not out of the family. God isn't giving you the boot. You still are one of his kids. His love for you is still the same. But because he does love you, he is going to come after you and discipline you. Because again, going back to verse 3, what is the will of God? It's your sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is, I want you to look more like me. And this is not me. I'm not engaged in these things. So the issue for the Thessalonians was sexual immorality. That may be the issue for you. It may not be, but what is it? As you reflect back on 2018, what are some of those things that maybe you're just not willing to let go and lay at the cross? Please take those seriously. Please lay them at the foot of the cross and cling and trust Jesus. It may be money. Man, I'm just not willing to give that one up. I'm just not willing to allow God to have control in that area of my life. I'm going to say to God, I've got this. And And I think that's a good question for me to ask. That may be the question that you ask yourself. The area that you wrestle with is the area that you say to God, I got this. I got this covered. As soon as you say that, that's probably the area. That's probably the area that's in your letter. If Paul was writing the letter to you, hey, you need to address this issue. Take it seriously. God will have his vengeance. Don't underestimate God's holy and just and righteous anger, because he wants you to look like him. Because again, verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. So take it seriously. But Paul doesn't leave him there, all right? Because again, for the most part, the Thessalonians are living lives that Paul wants to hold up and just say, man, you guys are examples to other people. Yeah, you've got this one area. Take it seriously, address it, but let's keep moving. So that's my word of encouragement to you as you think about 2018, as you look forward to 2019. Keep doing the things that you're modeling well for other people as a church, for us as a church. Now let me just say, there's a lot of good things happening in this church. Be encouraged by the way that God is working and moving in us as a body. Again, yesterday when I was sitting down with JT, he was asking me some questions. We were just talking through some things that he's wrestling with, and it was just interesting. It was like some of the questions he was asking me is like, man, I don't really have an answer to that question because we don't deal with that in our church. You know, I mean, I was able to say that in a positive way. You know, we haven't had to deal with issue X or issue Y. There's a really healthy culture amongst our elders and our leadership and our membership and the people that are actively involved. And so there's just some really things that I want you to be encouraged by that. So think about this then as we move on to the last part of the message. Paul then closes this part of the letter before he changes topics and begins to talk about the coming of the Lord. In verse 8, he says, therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So again, reminding, the words that I'm giving you today, the text that I'm reading, this is not my advice, not my wisdom. This is God's wisdom. You reject the wisdom that's here, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting God. So take it seriously. And then he moves on and he says, now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. There's that phrase again. There's some good stuff happening there. So as he shifts to how they need to continue to walk in a way that's pleasing to God, he begins to talk about this whole idea of brotherly love. And he sets the standard for them by just saying, hey, you guys know the drill. You've seen it. You actually have a reputation as one of the churches that get it, because other people are looking at what you've done for the Macedonians. You've loved on them well. So keep doing what you're doing. Do it all the more. And then, again, just to kind of reinforce, he leaves them a couple of last things. He says to them in verse 11, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more and to aspire. So have a goal. That's that word, aspire. Have a goal to live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So just simply put, don't be a meddler. You know, don't be a busybody. Live a life that honors God, walk quietly, do the things that you know you're supposed to do, honor and live a life that's worthy of God. So as we wrap up this morning, I want to give you five areas as we've been reflecting about 2018. I want you to begin to think about 2019. Here's the big question I want you to ask yourself. As you think about this text and the fact that Paul was commending the Thessalonians, as I've been commending you guys today, do more and more, keep doing more and more, because you're getting some things right. What are some areas that you need to work on? What are some areas that you need to take seriously? What's some sin that you may not be taking as seriously as you need to? Take it seriously, lay it at the foot of the cross, confess. Loving each other well, as the Thessalonians did, being a model for that to other people, living a life that's not meddlesome but engaged in loving each other. So here's the question I want you to ask. It's kind of a series of questions, all right? So this is homework, all right? This is things for you to do when you get home this afternoon or maybe this week. One is, where are you today? Where are you today? For some of you, the where are you today is, you may not have a relationship with Christ. You hear, you're investigating, you're asking questions. And so I'm thankful that if that's you, please continue to do that. Listen, engage, ask questions of the Father, spend time in His Word. Be sensitive to the work that God is doing. And when He calls you, respond. For some of you, there may be just some things you just need to, there's some areas, I'm going to give you some big areas to think about. There's some things that you're just, man, I'm just kind of floating. For some of you, it may be, I feel like I'm headed in the right direction. How do I continue that pattern? So here's the big question I want you to ask yourself. What is not true about you today that you want to be true about you a month from now? What is not true about you today as it relates to looking more and more like the Father? What is not true about you today that you want to be true about you a month from now? That you want to be true about you at the end of this year? That's a question I just want you to wrestle with. It's not original with me. A friend of mine on our coaching team, he heard that question one time. I was like, man, that's a really good question. And I just keep it in my journal. And every once in a while, I'll pull that question out. And I'll just ask myself that simple question. What's true about me today? What's not true about me today that I want to be true about me 30 days from now? You know? And there are five big areas that I want you to think about. Area number one is God. What does your spiritual intimacy look like? So here's how I want you to think about this as we finish up this morning. Think about this like a dashboard, okay? You know, when the dashboard lights come on, you know that you need to do something, right? Check engine soon light comes on. You shouldn't just ignore that light, right? Unless you have one of those little instruments that tells you what the check engine soon light's about, and it's just this O2 sensor, and it's like, oh, that just means I'm going to get worse gas mileage, so I can ignore it. But if you don't have that special tool, when the check engine soon light comes on, you know that it's a warning. So in your spiritual intimacy with the Father, what would a deeper walk with God look like for you? What would a deeper walk with God look like for you? Second area, family. As you think about 2019, as you think about the text that I've given you this morning, what relationships need your attention in the next 30 days? What relationships need your attention this next year? So God, spiritual intimacy. How's your walk look? How could it be more intimate? How could it be deeper? Family relationships, relational integrity. What family relationships need extra attention? Health. What part of your health are you neglecting? Maybe it's physical, maybe it's your emotional, maybe it's your emotions, maybe it's social. What part of your health needs your attention? Because again, need to recognize we are human beings. I think sometimes we forget that. And we go, 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 go. We don't take care of ourselves very well. So how can we be good stewards of what God has given us? Because He's given us, this is a resource for us to steward. And yes, He knows our days, but how healthy can we be in the days that God has given us? Fourth area, time. What priority needs more energy? Is there something that God has called you to that you just kind of keep putting on the back burner because it's too hard? You know, it's going to require you to really step out on faith. Maybe it's a new career path. I don't know. Maybe it's something new that God is calling you to be a part of. But what kind of energy does that need from you? And then lastly, people. So what relationships that are non-family that need more attention? So here's how I want you to think about these things as you look into 2019. As you think about this whole idea of living a life, because again, the whole idea of this conversation is, how do we live a life that's holy and pleasing to God? If God's chasing after our sanctification, if God wants us to look more like Him in those five areas, which one of those areas, if you have a dashboard in front of you, which one of those areas is the check engine soon light on? It's overheated, it's in the red, it's not good. Which one of those, either mentally or literally, circle that area right now? Which one of those five areas that we just mentioned needs immediate attention? And here's two follow-up questions I want you to ask yourself about that particular area. What do you need to do? When do you need to do it? And who can help you? What do you need to do? When do you need to do it? And who can help you? Because here's my concern. It's not a fear. It's a concern. I think for a lot of us, if we don't make a commitment to something, we'll just continue to kind of do what we do. We'll just kind of continue to float and meander. So in 2019, I want you to think about, how can you be purposeful? How can you be intentional to pursue a life of holiness? And how can you pursue a life that looks more and more like Jesus? And the questions I've just given you are just some baby steps to help you think through those things. If you already have some other way of doing it, great, do it. But the key at the end of the day is, how can we find ourselves like the Thessalonians? How can we find ourselves in a place where Paul is saying, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. Do more and more of that. That's really, really good. And this area over here, man, be aware. Be aware of your sin. Take it seriously, because God takes it seriously. And then lastly, man, just continue to be an example. Live in a way that I can say, man, I want to be able to commend the folks at Delta Church to these other churches in the area. You need to look and see what these guys are doing, because they're getting it. Just keep doing more and more of that. So at the end of the day, people are making much of God, not you. People are making much of God, not Delta Church, because we're pursuing Him. So as we wrap up this morning, I just want to pray a simple prayer for us, that we will just be faithful to cling to the cross daily, to rest in Him, to abide in Him, to be obedient to what we know to be obedient to, and as we learn the new things we need to be obedient, we be obedient to those things. And the days we jack it up, we just get on our knees, we lay it at the foot of the cross, we keep moving forward. So that at the end of our story, if there's another story told to other people about these people in this place, in this life, it's got a feeling of what Paul said to the Thessalonians. A church that can be commended, because they walked well, and he was continuing to them to say, hey, just do that more and more. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that as we work through this text, that God, you've reminded us of some things that we haven't laid at the foot of the cross. You've reminded us of some things that we haven't let go of, that we still cling to, Father. So I pray that whatever those things are, we do lay at the foot of the cross. We confess them so that we have that out of the way, and that our walk looks more and more like you. God, just continue to press in on us in those areas. And then, Father, those areas where, just like Paul commended the Thessalonians, you're commending us, Father, that we don't get lazy, we don't get complacent. Father, we just continue to cling well to the cross, trusting you to carry us as we do what you've called us to do, as we do our part, which is obedience, faithful living as a result of us being obedient to you, Father. So this morning, as we have this time of response, as we just come to the table, as we celebrate what you've done for us, Father, that it is, it's a reminder, it's a celebration of understanding that it's about you, it's not about us, that our standing before you is taken care of because of what your Son did on the cross, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood. So, Father, help us to remember that as we come to the table today. We thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.